Today we're considering how a crisis can be an opportunity for spiritual growth. Now, it'd be easy for me to give this talk as if the pandemic crisis was just a small and fleeting interruption to our normal way of life. But as we know, that wouldn't do justice to the situation that you and I find ourselves in during a six-week stage four lockdown. We have family and friends we can't meet in person, plus those trips to the cinema, the footy, the gym, local restaurant, weekend getaways. Those are all off limits to us. Perhaps we will know people who've contracted COVID here in Australia or perhaps overseas. Many of us will be good friends with some of the health professionals at St Alfred's Church or with health workers in our family or community. All of us agree this is no picnic. This is tough. This is difficult. So if that's the reality, what's the attitude that we as Christian people are to have in the midst of all this? Can we just put any thoughts of spiritual growth or sharing our faith to one side? Well, and this may surprise you, I think that would be a big mistake for us. If we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, we're people who identify with Paul's famous words in Philippians, "For to me, to live is Christ." Jesus is our priority, the very reason and purpose for our existence. As the Christian writer Tim Thornborough puts it, he's the heartbeat of our lives. If ever there was a time and an opportunity to grow in Christ and to reach out to others, this is surely it. That was the attitude of Paul himself. Perhaps you remember that Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians from a prison cell, probably in Rome. Yet in the midst of his suffering, there is a joy and a purpose and a hope that when we read that letter right through is totally inspiring. Paul writes, "I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." In the world's eyes, Paul is in a crisis. He's locked up in a prison for his faith and could be facing execution at any moment. But Paul doesn't see a crisis. He sees an opportunity. On the road to Damascus, Paul had been commissioned by Jesus personally to proclaim the gospel to those outside of Israel. And now, here he is in Rome, surrounded by hundreds of Roman soldiers of the palace guard. What an opportunity. I'm reminded of a remarkable Russian Christian called Basil, who was imprisoned for his faith during the days of the old Soviet Union. Philip Yancey broke this story back in 1992 in Christianity Today. In 1962, Basil had founded a small publishing company distributing a total of 700,000 gospel tracts before the KGB paid him a visit. They arrested him and sent him to a labour camp. We'd say that effectively Basil's Christian ministry was over. But Basil didn't see it that way. He was just getting started. After a few months in the prison camp, Basil realised that the guards of the camp always arrived at least 2 minutes late for the daily 6 a.m. roll call for all prisoners, and there were thousands of them. Basil saw his opportunity. He realised that every single prisoner in the camp was there at 6 a.m. every morning. And so every morning, Basil would give a 2-minute gospel presentation before the guards arrived. He did that every day for 2 weeks, in 2-week batches. so that he was able in that time to give a full gospel presentation. Basil did that month after month, and I'm sure that many prisoners who heard Basil's preaching owe their salvation to Basil's courage and initiative. Now, we may not see ourselves as the next Basil or Paul. We don't pretend to be spiritual superstars. We're just us. But that's okay. God made us who we are. And yet we also serve the same God as Paul and Basil. The Holy Spirit is at work in us too. And we have the same gospel to share. So during this COVID crisis, what opportunities can you see? Perhaps sending a text or card to someone and telling them you're praying for them through this crisis. Or perhaps even asking a friend or neighbour if they want to hear how your Christian faith is making a very real difference to your lives at the moment. Would anyone you know be interested in reading John Lennox's short and excellent book, Where is God in a Coronavirus? It's a book especially written for people looking for answers. There is also the forthcoming online Christianity Explored course. Details of that are in contact. If we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, we know the difference that he and the truths of the Christian gospel make to our lives, both in the ordinary times and now in these tougher times. Our Bible reading from Romans 5 reminds us of some of the riches of the gospel. We have peace with God. We have access to God. We have lasting hope through our faith in Jesus. And that's wonderfully reassuring when we're on this unpredictable and uncertain COVID journey. And Paul goes on to say, we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. Now, our context is very different to the early Christians in Rome who were suffering for their faith. But I believe that there are truths and insights here in Romans 5 which can also speak into our current situation. For some of us, this time of the coronavirus will be the biggest personal challenge and crisis that we have ever faced in our lives. It also tests our faith in a way that perhaps we weren't prepared for. And so we ask ourselves, how should I respond spiritually to this crisis? Well, the first step is surely to be honest with God about how we're feeling and to entrust ourselves to him. Psalm 37 puts it like this, commit your way to the Lord and trust in him. It's difficult for us not having regular church, not being able to meet our Christian friends in person or sing God's praises together, go to our growth group or give a hurting friend a hug. We miss all that, of course we do. But we're not to lose heart. As Paul makes clear, such times can be times of spiritual growth. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And as we know, and as Paul writes, God's hope does not disappoint us. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The first disciples hoped and longed for God's presence in their lives. And just as Jesus had promised them, God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to fill them and then down the centuries since, to fill all who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit guarantees our lasting inheritance in heaven. These are all great truths and fulfilled promises that we can reflect on and cling to. At the moment, things are uncertain. We're really unsure what to expect. But when we are in Christ, we are in the safest hands possible. Maybe you remember a time when you took on a major challenge and saw it through to the end. You motorcycled across Africa, or you climbed a mountain peak, played in a huge concert, put on a dinner for 100 people. Whatever it was, you remember it. You learned so much from that experience. You grew from it, and it gave you confidence. Well, it's my prayer that in a similar way, the COVID challenge will have a positive effect on all of us spiritually, that we will persevere in our Christian faith, praying and reading God's word and trusting him, that we will grow in godly character as we seek to become even more patient, kind, loving, and self-controlled, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And that we'll be uplifted by the hope we have in Jesus, who, while we were still sinners, died for us. And then 3 days later, rose triumphant from the grave, ascended to heaven, and whose Spirit has been poured into our hearts. When we have Christ, we have all we truly need for this world. Do you remember Paul's words from prison in Philippians chapter 3? I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. At one time in his life, Paul had enjoyed privilege, status, influence, and no doubt considerable wealth. But his hope in Jesus outweighed it all. So as he sat in his prison cell each day, he didn't lose heart. He looked for opportunities and he grew in his faith. He also wrote a lot of letters. He knew that God was teaching him and refining him. Remember the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18? What a scene of triumph when, by a miracle, God lit Elijah's sacrifice with fire from heaven. It was a scene of triumph, of godly leadership and courage. It was an event that brought the whole nation of Israel back to their God. But the Mount Carmel event didn't just happen. God had spent months preparing Elijah for that very moment. For not long after Elijah had been called by God and appointed by him as the prophet to Israel, God then told Elijah to leave Israel and go to Zarephath in Sidon and stay there at a widow's house until further instructions. Elijah was there for 2 years in the very region from which the notorious Queen Jezebel had come, the wife of Ahab, the evil and reigning king of Israel at that time. It would have been very understandable if Elijah had said to God, "Lord, why have you put me here in a foreign land when I'm the prophet to Israel? Why am I stuck in a lockdown situation with a poor widow and her son, all of us living on the same boring meals every day, and I'm so far from home? Please get me out of here, Lord. I've got so much I should be doing in Israel." But you see, without those 2 years in Zarephath, there would have been no Mount Carmel. It was the humble, humdrum setting of an ordinary home that God was using to prepare, train, and refine his prophet. I hope that helps us to see our current lockdown situation in a more positive light, to recognize that this might be a time when God is refining us, teaching us to trust him afresh, giving us more time to pray, to read his word and draw near to him, perhaps drawing near to him as never before, or maybe in a way that we haven't done for a very, very long time. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Perhaps a bit like Elijah, we might look back on this time as an unexpected time of spiritual growth and refining. Life might well be busy in your home with work webinars, children to teach and care for, jobs and studies to be done. But I invite you to offer this lockdown time to God. Andy Vance, the professional Christian jazz musician from New Hope Baptist that many of us know here at St. Alf's, he found time recently to write some new songs of praise and even record a lockdown concert. You can see Andy's concert by clicking on the link at the bottom of this webpage. I wonder how God wants to use you and me at this time. What are the opportunities we need to see? And how can we grow closer to God? Well, why don't we ask him? Have a good week, and God bless you.